Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by my faithful co-host, Stephen Devo Deaton. What's up, Stephen? How are you, man?
Hey, man, I'm good. Enjoying Thanksgiving break here on a Wednesday night, getting ready to eat a lot tomorrow and watch some football.
Dude, I am so excited for it. Like, I'm sure I'm going to be eating turkey for at least the next 3 days.
Oh, at least. Sure.
You know, and so I'm just excited for the naps to come along with it. I'm excited to have football on TV all day. I'm excited to watch the stupid Macy's Day Thanksgiving parade tomorrow morning, man. And so it's just a, you know, hey, look, I got kids, dude, and it's like the one thing that they get excited about. So, but man, I'm excited for the week, though. I agree with you. I know if you're like me, you got a couple of days off, and it has been much enjoyable for sure.
I did get a couple of days off, so it has been nice.
Nice. Are y'all practicing basketball or anything this week?
We played Monday and Tuesday this week, and then that's all we had this week. I was going to give them the rest of the week off, and nice. We'll pick back up on Monday.
I saw you take your first loss, man.
I did, man. It was tough. It was tough. We played played a pretty good team, and we didn't play to our potential. But this isn't a basketball podcast, so. But yeah, we're excited. We're happy. We're, you know, 8-1 at Thanksgiving. So that's I would have taken that 100 times out of 100 times preseason. So
absolutely. Well, hey, speaking of records and stuff, Stephen, let's segue into this next segment, man. Each week we always talk about how we've done. You see that segue? That was nice, man. Talking about how we do in our redraft and our dynasty leagues. Kind of do like a recap here. Stephen, how did you finish off last week, man?
All right, last week it was a better week. You know, I had a little bump in the road there for a couple weeks. Redraft this week went 3-1 on the week. Dynasty, I went 8-5 with one of those being complete rebuild. I'm 0-11 there. After a couple rough weeks, again, like I said, I'm back in the saddle with a decent week this week. 96-59 dynasty record on the year, 27-17 redraft record for the year. And a total record between the both of 123-76. I would have went 9-4 this week in Dynasty. I was on pace to win another league, and Kyler's late scratch kind of got me in a league. I looked to make a trade in that league, and there was some miscommunication on if the trade would process or not. I don't know if I'd have won anyway, but it was a bummer. But I finished 8-5 there because Kyler's late scratch.
Yeah, man, I know Kyler burnt me as well. And so it was a fun week, man. I immediately traded him today. And so, in redraft last week, I went 1-1, again for the fourth week in a row. And I'm sitting at 16-6 overall in redraft. I will say this, I am consistently winning one league and I am consistently losing in another. It's been tough, man. Dynasty last week, I went 3-5 with three of those leagues being a complete rebuild, one of them being a 1 year reload. And so even with that though, I'm still sitting at 42-47 overall. But yeah, I do, man. Dynasty is one of those things to where I had a matchup this past week and I needed Jimmy Garoppolo to not score over 25 points. He hasn't done that all year long, and dude puts up a solid 33 and I lose. And so, shout out Jimmy Garoppolo. I appreciate you crushing my dreams, man.
Yeah, he had a nice week, man. He had a nice week.
He did. So, Steve, let's go into this news and notes segment, man.
All right, man. First thing we're going to talk about here is Zach Wilson. As of today, this morning, it sounded like in team meetings that Zach Wilson was told and the team was told that he would not be starting this Sunday against the Bears. After a wretched performance of only 9 completions, 77 yards, and a loss to the Patriots, he neglected to take responsibility for the loss and told reporters that he didn't feel like he let his defense down after the defense had only given up 3 points. All right, my question about Zach Wilson to you here, BJ, is we've talked about him a lot on this podcast. Is this it, or is this just a wake-up call?
After hearing the head coach this morning there in interviews, actually, he straight up said, he's like, look, Zach Wilson's time here in New York as a starting quarterback is not over. He said, what we want to do is we want to give Zach a little bit of a break. We want him to reset mentally, reset some of these fundamentals. He's like, because in the process of the game and stuff, he's making the correct decisions is what the coach said. And he's like, the issue is his fundamentals. And he's like, something's happened there and we want to fix it. And he's like, so I told Zach, you know, I want you to take a break, man. And you will like basically promised him he'll get his job back. That he's not finished as the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. That at some point this season he will actually retain that position. And he said, but the issue is he needs a mental reset on the fundamentals. I'm going to be honest with you, Steven. If I was a New York Jets fan or even a player in that locker room, I don't know how I would be feeling about the situation, man. You're telling me that my leading quarterback, the leader of our team, has to have a mental reset on the fundamentals of the game. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence in the team. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it is the right move to just kind of, you know, he threw 9 completions for 77 yards against the Patriots and then made excuses after that and even said, hey, guys, you know, it's windy as heck out there right now. Mac Jones had a better game than him, you know? And so at the end of the day, I think his time there is not over, but I'm skeptical right now, man, in all honesty.
Yeah, you have to be a little bit because of just the performances he's putting up. They're not great. And I like Zach Wilson. I'll be the first to say everybody knows I like him. People that I talk to in the Dynasty community know how I feel about him. I like the guy. But, man, he's not doing me any favors right now for sure. And I do think this is probably a good idea for him just to kind of hit the reset button. He's still young, and maybe he does need to hit that reset button and just look and see what's going on with his game. You know, I think that I heard Sean Payton say this in an interview, and it kind of, you know, you can kind of ask the same question, but I thought this was really good. He said, when we built our teams in New Orleans, that they always looked at players like this, and they said, will he be here when this team wins the next Super Bowl? Is this player a part of the next Super Bowl? And he said they always kind of built their teams around that question, around each player. Will this player be here when they win a Super Bowl? So if you're asking, you know, if the Jets are using that mantra, I guess, will Zach Wilson be there when they win a Super Bowl? You know, so it's a tough question because I think the jury's probably still out. There's going to be probably a lot of people that say no. Probably more people are going to say no than yes. So if you own him, if you're a believer in him, it's good news that that's not just a benching of anger or a benching of disgust with him. It's just a benching of, hey, we see something going on with him. We want to correct it and get it right. And then he can, you know, try to build on that and work back in his job and be a much better player.
Yeah, because it's to my understanding that he's not even going to dress out for the game Sunday. He's going to be inactive. And so it may be just a chance to kind of take a step back and see the game from the sidelines and be able to adjust from there.
Yeah. All right. The Dallas Cowboys, man, they absolutely destroyed the Vikings this past week, 40-3. The same Minnesota Vikings that were 8-1 and had just beat the Buffalo Bills. Man, what do you think about the Cowboys? Are you more surprised about that offensive explosion, or are you more discouraged about the Vikings' offense inability to score or put up any points?
Can I answer both, Steven? Is that a choice?
Yeah.
Man, as somebody who is a manager of Justin Jefferson in a redraft league right now, I hated to see that outing. In all honesty, it was not good having Dalvin Cook on my Dynasty teams. It wasn't fantastic at all. But, man, Dallas has been surprising me, man. Even whenever Cooper Rush was the quarterback and they went, like, what was it, 4-2 during that span? Or what, 4-1, whatever it was? Just the fact of they've got that offense clicking. And the thing about Kellen Mond is like, with him being the offense coordinator of Dallas, if he's on, dude, he is on. And so, like, the play this past week that kind of draws my attention and what I come back to is that Tony Pollard wheel route that he ran, to where the coverage was there. They knew exactly what they were going to be in and ended up having Pollard against a linebacker, and he smoked him for like a 60-plus yard reception for a touchdown. And so with it, honestly, I'm surprised in Dallas this year. I think that's where my meter kind of leans towards. But also, I'm anxious to see what Dallas does in the upcoming weeks with the OBJ news and stuff like we talked about the past week. I see them making a heavy push. And not only that, but, man, Dallas surprisingly has been killing it this year, and they're in the running for some playoff contention, man.
You know, there's some makings here of, you know, similar to what the Rams did last year. Went out and got OBJ. The Dallas Cowboys might do the same thing. They're clicking offensively. It'll just make, you know, you think it will just make them better offensively. Let's talk about for a minute, and you did mention it briefly, but what a weapon Tony Pollard is for that team. I know Zeke got the money, and that's why he's playing, but Tony Pollard is the best running back on that team, and it's not close.
Agreed. And I think that's one of those things, man. Jerry Jones just can't admit it. It's like one of those things, like if you spend the money, you kind of have to back the guy and say that, oh yeah, man, he's gonna get the starting job. We're always gonna feed Zeke. We're always gonna give him the work and stuff like that. But if you watch the game, I think even Pollard knows that, man. Pollard scored that touchdown for the 60-yard touchdown this week, and then his celebration was he just did the Michael Jordan shoulder shrug, you know? And so he knows his talent, he knows what he's doing out there. And so I think you can't be a watcher of football and a fan and not think that Pollard is the best back on the team.
I think Jerry Jones and Zeke thing compared, like you were talking about, you know, that he just can't admit that he was wrong on that, seems similar to mine and Zach Wilson's relationship. So.
Touche. I tell you what, if you want to be really discouraged, Steven, if you are an Ezekiel Elliott manager, go back and watch some of his like second year in the league highlights and how he was able to hurdle over folks and how he
I
was able
know.
to like just
Yeah.
run a 60-yard touchdown run.
He's not that same guy.
He is not the same guy,
Not
man.
the same guy. All right, moving on. Melvin Gordon got waived by the Broncos this week. He's passed through waivers without anybody picking him up. Now, I don't know what the financial value there was or what they were going to have, what any team was going to have to take on. That could have been a part of that. But as of right now, he hasn't signed with a team. Do you think he has a fantasy resurgence anywhere this year, or is this basically the end for Melvin Gordon?
I think he signed somewhere. As far as fantasy relevance, I don't see much, man. I think he's a decent back. I think that he was doing fantastic at the beginning of the year, even though that offense was kind of struggling. I know he was putting up probably RB2, RB3 numbers. But even with that, man, I think if he signs, we're gonna have a similar situation to who we're gonna be talking about here shortly with Daryl Henderson, to where he may end up just being a handcuff on somebody.
Yeah, and we're just going to go right into that. The Rams also waived Daryl Henderson, who got picked up by the Jags. The question here in the pod is, did the Rams release the wrong running back? What do you think? What do you think they were doing there? Did they hit the wrong button when they meant to release Cam Akers? What do you think there?
I thought you'd appreciate that show note, man.
Yeah.
I saw on Twitter, man, people were hype about this because, you know, it was just, what was it? Cam Akers was just complaining and demanding a trade 4 weeks
Yeah,
ago,
yeah, yeah,
you know?
yeah.
And then now they're like, oh, you know what, Cam, after all the drama that we went through, let's release the other running back who was actually putting up okay numbers the past year, you know? But I think that offense is just in turmoil, man. I don't know what they're doing. I know with Henderson going to the Jags, it kind of looks like an insurance policy for ETN.
Yeah,
And
that's all he's
so,
going to be. Don't, nobody needs to come in here and get it twisted and think that Daryl Henderson's fixing to come cut in the ETN work. He
ain't no
might
way,
get
bro.
some work, but he ain't cutting into ETN. All he's going to be is another handcuff. He's going to be an Alexander Mattison. He's going to be that type of running back for the Jags behind ETN. And I
He's gonna
and
be.
look, and I think on the Cam Akers front, I think I think Cam Akers was probably right all along. He was disgusted with his usage. He was disgusted that Henderson was getting the work over him. He was disgusted with the way the Rams were doing things. And he was basically like, you know what? I'll go somewhere else. I'm done with you. And the Rams are like, well, you're a pretty good player. I think we want to keep you, you know. And then this is their, you know, looks like they're maybe trying to right a wrong here and moving Daryl Henderson and giving Cam Akers the share.
Yeah, do you trust Cam Akers and Dynasty right now?
I'm still a believer right now. I
Okay.
think he's a buy low. You better go buy him because when he explodes, it'll be over. You know, it's only going to take one game, and he'll be popped right back up there. You know, talking about, you know, what a young running back he might can be in that offense. So,
Yeah, I see a resurgence at some point. I don't know if it's this year with that offense struggling, and then
right.
also you have the Matthew Stafford news about him. What was it? He has a sprained neck or something,
Yeah, he's
and
out.
so. You know, who knows what happens then?
Yeah, this year might be. Yeah, I agree with you. This year might be iffy, but at least he'll get the back half of this year and a whole off season. I'm still a buyer. I still like the guy. I still think
Oh
he
yeah.
can be something. Obviously, the Rams probably think that too. They wouldn't have waived Daryl Henderson.
I think you can get him for super
Still
cheap right now too.
staying on the Rams here for just a minute. Cooper Kupp's latest diagnosis is a 6 to 8 week absence. And again, we're talking about what a mess the Rams are. Unless they have a miraculous turnaround, Kupp is probably done for the year. Is it time to get out from under Kupp, who will be 30 next season?
I'm out, man. The only 30-year-old wide receiver that I've seen that has been killing it so far is probably God, DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's right up there. I know that you have some 29-year-olds who are actually doing okay with Mike Evans and Tyreek Hill and a couple more. But dude, that you know how that 30-year-old drop off
I
is,
know,
you
I
know?
know.
And even the last couple games that you saw with Kupp, I mean, you can obviously tell something was up there. But I mean, there's going to have to be a massive turnaround, man. So I know
Yeah.
Steven, me and you talked, just kind of bringing this up. You texted me, when was it, this morning or yesterday morning, where you had a Red Dead Win Now team where you had Cooper Kupp and had an offer for Mixon straight up. And I was like, dude, take Mixon, take those points.
Yeah, and I actually wound up making that trade. I took Mixon over Kupp, and I'm a dead red win now. My team is old. So there's not really a window there where I can say, well, let me just hold Kupp and wait. It needs to be now. I won it last year. I'm looking to go back to back, and this probably be it. And I'll probably have to hit the reset button, the rebuild button. But yeah, man, I mean, like Cooper Kupp, 30 years old next season, and yeah, wide receivers have a longer shelf life, but Joe Mixon's 26. So, you get 4 years younger, and you get a really good running back, fringe running back one, a solid running back two there. So I was good with the move.
Absolutely.
All right, last bit of news and notes here. Davis Mills was also benched today. I think the run for this guy may be truly over here, as to where, we just talked about Zach Wilson. He's going to get another opportunity. This Davis Mills ride might be over. Kyle Allen's going to get the start in place for him this week. Are the Texans tanking for Bryce?
Absolutely. I think either him or CJ Stroud won, man. I know it was very obvious to see that Davis Mills was not the long-term option there. I mean, you look at his usage, you look at that offense. The offense does not rely on the quarterback hardly at all, honestly. They would rather run the ball and run through Dameon Pierce. And so I do see them drafting a quarterback next year. I don't know who it is. It could be Bryce, it could be Stroud. They could honestly go crazy like the Jets and choose like a Anthony Richardson or something, you know? And so who knows what's gonna happen? But I do agree. I think Mills' time is up, and I think as a dynasty manager, you should have probably saw this coming, man. You know, so you should have probably sold him fairly quickly.
I think Davis Mills is one of those guys in Dynasty that you probably couldn't sell. Like, especially if he was playing for you in any capacity, because at worst, he was maybe starting for you, in a pinch, or maybe every week as a QB2, and then on the flip side of that, if you tried to sell him as a backup quarterback on your team, well, you probably wasn't getting hardly anything. So he was probably more valuable as just being your backup, right? So he was probably a guy that nobody probably moved. And you're probably definitely not moving him now. It's just one of those things, man. Sometimes you got to ride the guy till it's over, and it looks like it might be over for Davis Mills.
Yeah, watch out, Mac Jones. You're next. Oh, man. So moving into our next segment, Stephen, we got our sneaky flex plays. And let me just start off by saying this. We crushed it last week. And so it's about time we did something good, man. And so just to recap last week, Steven chose Donovan Peoples-Jones from the Cleveland Browns, who finished as wide receiver 14 on the week with a stat line of 5 receptions for 61 yards and finally getting into the end zone. And so that was fantastic to see. Just as we talked about last week, man, I don't think I realized it, but Deshaun Watson is coming back next week. And so if you've got Donovan Peoples-Jones on your team right now, man, look for an uptick in usage. I think Brissett has been doing fantastic this year, but I think that, man, once Watson comes in, he's going to crush it. But speaking of Watson, I chose Christian Watson as my flex play last week, even though the game was currently going on when we recorded. But I chose it beforehand, like we said, and he finished as the wide receiver 8 with a stat line of 4 receptions, 48 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And so with it, man, I think we crushed it last week. But let's go ahead and move on to this week, Steven. Who's your sneaky flex play?
Man, my sneaky flex play this week is a guy who I feel like should not be a flex play at all. But as I was doing this research on my flex plays this week, I got to looking at some of the rankings for players, and I used Fantasy Pros just on this certain thing here, and there's 27 guys who rank these on a weekly basis. They had this player ranked as wide receiver 66 on the week. So that made me think, man, this guy is a huge flex play at this spot where he's being ranked this week. And that guy is my boy, Juju Smith-Schuster. I know he had the concussion and he's kind of iffy, and that may be a reason for where he's ranked. But man, that's just way, way, way too low. If he suits up and plays, which he practiced today without limitations, You got to plug Juju back into that lineup. He is an easy flex play to me. He's more like a wide receiver 2-3 guy, but just going off of rankings this week, they've got him at wide receiver 66. If you're somebody that looks at rankings and sets your lineup off of that, this should be a red flag that you cannot always do that because he's ranked as wide
Absolutely.
receiver 66 this week. Man, you got to put Juju back in those lineups because Patrick Mahomes has shown us that he loves him some Juju.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think if he plays, throw him in there. And this is also one of those things like we talked about a couple weeks ago, Stephen. Make sure that you're following these news, man. He did practice today. I know that I read that he did not clear the concussion protocol yet, but
Right.
it's just the fact that he is out there. He is doing some work. And so if he does play, man, throw him out there for sure.
Right.
And so my sneaky flex play this week is going to be a running back that seems to be forgotten about as of late. I haven't seen this guy in a starting lineup in any league that I'm in a long time. Yet he's currently the RB15 on the year. This is somebody who we were talking about was going to lose their job early season. They were all worried about him and stuff. He, man, I'm telling you, Steven, I play in 10 dynasty leagues or eight, whatever it is. And I promise you, I have yet to see this guy in a starting lineup. And he faces an easily exposable Atlanta defense this week. And I'm talking about Washington running back Antonio Gibson. Now, I know everybody was worried that Brian Robinson, the guy who got shot in the leg, the Alabama alumni, was going to come in and take over this backfield, that he was going to be named the starting running back. And look, I get it, man. You know, Robinson is getting work out there, but what you miss is that Gibson is not only getting the passing down work, especially with J.D. McKissic being out here lately with a neck injury and stuff, but also he's averaging 3 receptions per game and playing around 50 to 60% of the snap share. And so with it, he's scoring a solid 12 to 15 points every week, and it's like nobody even notices. And so with this, I think if you've got Antonio Gibson on your team and you're struggling with a flex play, throw him in there. Trust it. It's a terrible defense they're playing against, and I imagine they're going to play through the run game. And so Taylor Heineke's been killing it. I know they said that he's probably going to end up remaining the starting quarterback after even Wentz comes back. And so with it, I expect Gibson to have a good play, man. I expect Gibson to actually put up a solid 10 plus points as he has been. And so don't, man, quit throwing shade on my man Gibson out here, dude.
I think Gibson's, again, one of these completely under the radar players this year. He's RB15 on the year. I mean, and we're in week 11. Like, I mean, this isn't a 2 week 2 week sample here. This is 11 week sample, and he's RB15 on the year in PPR leagues. I do think it's key that it has to be a PPR league. If it's not a PPR league,
Agreed.
he can't be. I don't think he can be trusted and started. But you're right, man. Averaging 3 receptions per game, playing around 60% snap share, and he's getting those. He's getting that PPR work. Man, you got to play him. I don't know. It's kind of like the Juju thing. You got to play these guys. Play these. What are we doing? What are we talking about here? You got to play him. Play him. I like it.
Man, unless you just got a solid starting lineup, then you better be plugging these guys in.
Yeah, I agree.
And so moving into our next segment, Steven, let's talk about these underdog player props.
All right, yeah, underdog. All right, the recap last week, my underdog picks wasn't as hot as they have been as we've started this segment 3 or 4 weeks ago. But Dante Foreman over 50.5 rushing yards was a miss. Curtis Samuel under 42.5 receiving yards. I did hit that one. And Andy Dalton under 212.5 passing yards. I missed that one. I'm kind of happy about that, right? Because you all know I'm a Saints fan, and we just absolutely destroyed the Rams. I was happy that Dalton, was kind of able to do something this week. Not happy here on underdog, but happy for my team.
Yeah,
Let's
let me
hit
stop you
yours.
right there, Stephen. Hang on. So Andy Dalton, 212 passing yards. The only reason that you missed that is because he threw like a 60-yard bomb to Chris Olave when he beat
I
Jalen
know, and
Ramsey.
I loved every minute of it.
The
Every
happy
single minute of
happiness
it.
and sadness, man.
That's right. All right, let's hit yours up real quick. Justin Fields over 254.5 total yards was a miss for you. Lamar Jackson over 61.5 rushing yards was a miss for you. And then Patrick Mahomes, who hits his lines every week,
Every week.
339.5 total yards was a hit. So there you are. I went 1-2 last week. You went 1-2 last week. That makes me 7-3 overall since we've started this segment. And I'm not sure what your overall record is
Yeah, it's
here on
okay. We're
this.
not even going to talk about it, Steve. Let's just keep going.
All right. So this week, we'll alternate here. I'm going to go first here. My first underdog pick. I think we're all Thursday night too, right? Aren't we all Thursday?
Yeah, all
Every one
Thursday.
of our. So all of our underdog picks this week are Thursday. So we're going to push this thing out and hopefully get you guys to be able to listen to this. But Josh Allen, over 334 and a half total yards. And, man, I love this line for a guy who needs to right the ship in Buffalo just a little bit. They've had some bumps in the road. He's had a little bit of injuries, you know, some nicked up elbow and just some stuff going on. But, man, I think he's arguably the best quarterback in the league. And he's going against, well, you know who, those Detroit Lions. So give me the over on this 334 and a half total yards over for
Yeah,
Josh Allen.
I'm gonna say about 80 of those are gonna be rushing yards.
Yeah.
And so my first one is also Josh Allen with under 0.5 interceptions. Now, look, if you look at Allen's stats, he is a risky passer. He has had a problem with interceptions this year as he's thrown already a total of 10, and it's only week, what, 12? However, like what you said, he is facing Detroit this week. And as you all know, Detroit's defense is weak. They can't stop the run, honestly. And so with that, I expect Allen and the Buffalo Bills to come out hot in the first half. And then, to be completely honest with you, I expect Josh Allen to basically coast in the second half. And so if you're up by a lot, I don't see Allen making a lot of risky throws. And so I expect him to kind of play it safe. And so I'm taking this under here.
Yeah, I like it. I think he's going to have a really, really good day. I really do. The Lions are kind of coming off a little high this week. I definitely expect them to have a little setback this week just because, you know, they had a pretty good week last week. So, you know, bad teams usually don't have back-to-back good weeks. All right, my second one here, staying on Thursday night, Jamal Williams. I'm taking the over a half rushing touchdown. So just one rushing touchdown is all he needs. Look, man, I don't care what your feelings are on this. I really don't. But as bad as I hate this for DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams is the running back one in Detroit.
Dang. Dang.
And he's most definitely that goal line back. He had three rushing touchdowns last week, and the Lions will want to win the time of possession. That will be the only way they can probably keep that Buffalo offense down. So they'll want to win the time of possession. I think they'll be running the ball, and Jamal Williams is going to be the one doing that. I think they're going to do that to try to keep the ball out of Allen's hands. And I do think he gets another rushing touchdown this week. Give me the over half a rushing touchdown for Jamal Williams.
As somebody who has Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift in a redraft league, I'm starting Williams over DeAndre Swift, and I hate it. But I agree with your take here. I do think that he is that goal line back, and they trust him inside the five, man. And so I get it. The second one that I'm going with is Saquon Barkley basically scoring a touchdown. It is over 0.5 rushing and receiving touchdown. So basically, he just got to score a touchdown. And plain and simple, Saquon is back. The offense is operating through him. I know he had a rough week this past week, but with their only healthy wide receiver being Darius Slayton, Barkley should get into the end zone as he has six times this year so far. They're going to have to stay in the game as they're facing off against Dallas in a divisional matchup, so expect a high volume from Saquon. And as we all know, volume is king. And so I expect him to have a few goal line opportunities here, and I expect him to score, man.
Yeah, I like it. I actually – have an underdog slip in, and I've got this one on there. I love it here, and I agree with you. A half rushing touchdown or receiving touchdown,
yep.
Man, that's you just it feels like a smash. It feels like you're gonna hit it. All right, so my final one here, I'm gonna go with my man that we just talked about, DeAndre Swift, over 19 and a half receiving yards, and completely contradicting what I just told you about the Lions running the ball. I also expect them to be losing. So I do think Swift can easily get some passing down work. And 19 and a half receiving yards for Swift, who's probably going to be in on some third downs. He's probably going to be in on some two-minute drills. And again, like I said, I expect him to be losing. He might be in late trying to get a touchdown, you know. So that 19 and a half, I feel like he could hit that easily. He is an explosive player, and he can get that in one play easily. So, man, I like it. 19 and a half receiving yards. Give me the over on Swift.
Dude, I agree 100%. I know that Swift, they love him in Detroit, actually, in the receiving game. And so I do expect him to hit this pretty easily. I mean, two catches, he probably already has it.
Yeah.
My last one that I'm going with is a risky one, but let me explain. Dak Prescott over 247 and a half passing yards. As of right now, an underdog, this is a boosted line, meaning that it boosts your odds on payout. The only downside is you can only play a dollar bet on it. However, if you run a five-player parlay, which is tough, payout is 100 times. It's a good stat line as Dak has begun finding the passing game once again. He's been killing it since getting back from his injury. He's hit this line in three of four of his last games, and they're going to need him to pass the ball in this divisional game against the Giants. Low risk, high reward payout here. Throw you a dollar on this line. Pick you little four other players, ones that we mentioned here if you want to. And then, man, go make some easy money, dude.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And again, I have the Barkley one. I've got this one too on a five-player parlay. I've got this one, and I've got the Barkley one. So I've got two of yours that you've put in here. I like it, man. 247.5 passing yards. I think, like you said, I think it's going to be a showdown, you know, between the Giants and the Cowboys, and I think high scoring. So I'm with you on this. 247.5 passing yards, and as long as that boosted line's up there, man, that's fun. And that you can put a dollar on it, run you a five-player parlay. You might make $100. So just, you know, go ahead and find you some you like. Throw that boosted one on there and try to win you some money this week.
Exactly, man. You know, low risk, high reward. Why not? All right, Steven, let's jump into a new segment, man. So something I've been thinking about a lot here lately is that we're beginning to approach the end of the season, and honestly, trade deadlines are beginning to creep up. Now, you can have your own take on trade deadlines, if they should be a case, if they shouldn't be implemented, whatever. I don't really care. But time is beginning to tick for people either making a decision to push for the playoffs or going into a rebuild after being in the middle of the pack for so long. So now is actually the perfect time to pick up some draft picks or to sell them for playoff pieces. And so with that being said, if you're contemplating going into a rebuild and you've never done it before, because, you know, they're always out there. I've been in that boat. I've seen other people in that boat. So I've done some research on it myself. Steven, I know that you're currently in a rebuild right now as well. And so you may not be exactly sure what to do if you're considering that. So for the next few weeks, Steven, I thought it would be a good idea for each one of us to give one tip a week to remember and just kind of give some tips on a rebuild. Because I know if you're listening out there and stuff, you may not know what your first step is. You may not know when to go all in or anything else like that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try to help you out a little bit. And so, Steven, I'm going to go first with this one, man. My very first tip for a rebuild. This is something I've struggled with myself. I've had teams where I've been in the middle of the pack, and my very first step that I take in that rebuild is I sell my running backs for a haul. Okay. If you're in the middle of the pack and you're like, man, I want to go into a rebuild. I want to go either a year in, do a 1 year reload or a 2 year one or whatever. What good is it to have these stud running backs on your team collecting these points for the next year or two? Yep. Why would you ever hold this running back? And right. So many of us out there know that running backs only have a 2 to 3 year shelf life. And then after that, they usually decrease in value, right? And right. So with it, man, I've seen this firsthand. I'm currently in three rebuilds right now. And I just wanted to give the listeners some of the returns that I've seen from myself this past year. I sold Saquon. I got a 23 first, a 24 first, and a 12-team Superflex league. I sold Zeke. I got a 25 first and two early 24 seconds. I sold Kenneth Walker immediately after the rookie draft and got a 23 first, a 24 first. I sold Gibson before Brian Robinson came in and took that job from the man for a 23 first and a 24 first. And so with this, I know for a fact that most of these draft picks probably won't hit. But that's where your research comes in and stuff. But the biggest thing is, man, is the fact that these four players that I sold for this buttload of draft picks are more than likely going to depreciate in value by that time. And the good thing is, and the thing that I love the most is that these draft picks are only going to increase in value. And Steve, I know you're going to talk about that here in a second, man. But the biggest thing about this is that I can trade out and I can attempt to make a run. Or if I get to these positions in the draft and I don't like where I'm at, I can trade back and even pick up more pieces. And so just some tips that I wanted to kind of give our listeners and stuff. If you're going into a rebuild, be open to negotiating. Don't just have in your mind what you're wanting to get out of a player and just instantly reject when you get an offer. Now, with that being said, don't take garbage offers. Instead, actually go back and forth and stuff. And man, be strategic in this. Do you know, actually begin to contemplate the moves that you're making, what your goal is in this, and where you're wanting to be at. And in doing so, man, be active, make these moves and stuff, and collect these assets. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, depreciating running backs are going to always be a thing. That the shelf life is just it's just so short compared to other positions, wide receivers and tight ends mainly. I mean, even quarterbacks can go a long time. The running back's the one that doesn't go long. So if you have these guys that are considered, you know, studs or really good running backs, but you don't think you're going to compete for 2 or 3 years, you got to sell these guys now. You got to sell them You can't hold them. I completely agree with you. I'm in a group chat with some guys just today. Guy sent a team out, and he said, "What do I need to do with this team?" We discussed it for a minute. He's got Mixon and Najee Harris, and all of us were in agreement that if he wants to make that team better, he needs to sell those guys now, Najee and Mixon.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's one of those things, man. Running backs need to be sold. And look, a lot of, you know, your better dynasty managers kind of know this about running backs. But at the same time, if you're a guy that's win now and you need a running back, then you're going to be willing to do that. So
Yeah, exactly.
don't think that, oh, well, you know, everybody knows running backs short shelf life. I'm not going to get anything for them. That's not true, because somebody's going to need them to win. And so,
Yep.
even though that shelf life is really short, they may need them for this year or next year. That, you know, 1-2 year window for that running back to win, and they'll pull the trigger if it's right. All right. So my tip for a rebuild actually isn't really a tip for a rebuild. So yay me. But I did want to say, man, it kind of goes hand in hand with a rebuild in a way. What I'm going to say here is, don't be afraid to trade your picks to win now, like we were just talking about. Too many times I see owners hold picks when they can clearly win now. I know a good friend of mine who has played Dynasty for a long time, and a lot of times he just holds those picks, man. He can't see the good in trading the pick, and it's cost him. Now, he's gotten better over time, but it has costed him in the past some championships, I think. And these teams miss out on the championship. Isn't that the whole point of what we do this for? We're trying to win the championship with your dynasty team. Isn't that what you're trying to do? We know we're trying to build a dynasty, right? You're trying to build a really good team, but you're not building a farm system for the other teams. You're not building guys up and then trading them off to get younger every single year. At some point, you got to go for it. And moving those picks and moving those things, those assets that you have, is going to allow you to do that. So don't be afraid to pull the trigger if it feels right and it'll make you a top team in your league.
Dude, I this is something I'll be honest with you, Steven. The very first rebuild I did, I struggled with this. I collected a ton of 22 first round picks in the rebuild, and I remember looking at it and I'm like, dude, I hate the running backs in this class. You know, like I don't feel comfortable. That was the one position I was lacking. So what I did is I pulled the trigger, just like what you said. I was like, instead of sitting here and waiting on these rookies, I went out and bought Saquon, I bought Nick Chubb, I went out and bought Gibson, I bought a couple more pieces, and now I'm contending. I'm top three in the league right now. And so with it, I mean, I agree with you 100%, man. You have to be able to actually self-evaluate your teams, begin to look at these weak spots and say, hey, man, you know what? If I flip one of these late first, if I flip this mid first, whatever, and I don't have to take that chance on that player, I can go get me a well-established player on somebody else who wants to sell all this player and make a run right now. Because Steven, just like we said, man, the goal of all of this is to win these championships, is to take home that bag at the end of the year, right? And so with it, man, be looking at your team. Don't have a set in stone strategy, but instead be willing to adapt for sure.
Man, I completely agree. I'm a win now guy. Like, if I have a team that I even have an inkling that I think I can win now, I'm going for it. I just think, man, this is what we do this for. You do this to win. We do it to have fun, but man, you got to do it to win too, man. Just my opinion, you have to. Now, you know, again, the rebuilds are fun. They keep your attention. They probably even make you more active. But man, you know, if you have an inkling to win now, just go for it, man. Sell those picks. Go for it. See what happens.
Absolutely, man. Couldn't agree with you more. So as we wrap up this episode, I just want to take this time and thank our listeners, man. Y'all show out each and every week and actually support us and stuff, so we appreciate it. And so y'all are the reason we keep going, man. I appreciate it. The whole reason we started this podcast is because with me, I have to get all of this information out somehow. It's either an hour long phone call with a friend talking about fantasy football, or it's just doing this podcast. And so that's why we're here. And so if you guys want to, man, get over on social media, give us a follow on Facebook at Legacy of Legends, the Dynasty Podcast, or over on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can follow Steven on Twitter at SDeaton24 or myself at AfroDynamics116. Also feel free to give us an honest and genuine 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts if you so choose. Man, we look forward to continuing these episodes and just putting out some good quality content that's kind of chill and laid back. Steven, I always turn this over to you, man. What's some final fantasy advice you got for our listeners?
Man, I just think we're here, man, and it's time. It's week 11, and like you talked about trade deadlines and such, and whatever your feelings are on those, it could be it's different for everybody, I know, but it's time to make some moves. Don't wait. It's time. We're week 11. Make those moves. Go win now.
Absolutely, man. Hey, we want to take this time to wish you a happy holiday, man. Have a good Thanksgiving this week. I hope that y'all enjoy spending some time with your family, just watching some football, eating some good food and stuff. And so, man, just relax. Enjoy the week for what it is. Be thankful for everything you have. And, man, we'll see you guys next week. Y'all have a good one. Thank you.